people, you won't have to pay for the empty boxes. God's always, from the first time I ever heard him, blessed my heart in his preaching. I guess the first time I ever heard Brother Nibby preach, he preached on pull her in, fill her up, and check the oil. Next time I heard him preach, he preached on Alligator Alley. And one of our daughters, who was not married then, got the tape, come home, wore the thing plumb out, and had to get another. It was about raising babies and all of that, and she knew she was supposed to marry a preacher, and I don't know, but it all worked out. And this man's been a real influence on that child's life. She'd ride him, he'd ride her. In fact, I think it come down to it, Brother Mibbies. You told her, go home, write the letter on blue stationery, put it in a blue envelope, and send it off. Tell it just like it is. And it worked. Thank God it worked. And then he preached well, 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 Dr. Allison. You remember that? And he never ceases to amaze me in the preaching of the Word of God. Brother Hanley, you come now and preach to us again.
Exodus chapter 2. The father's already told you what I'll preach on, I guess. My old heart's a-trembling this morning because of the responsibility to preach the Word of God. And I'm ever so conscious when I stand in an awesome place like this of other men that are sitting listening that are so far above me. I thank God for, especially this morning, for Brother Allison. The first time I heard him, I'd never heard a seminary professor before, let alone a seminary president. To be honest, I wasn't expecting too much. He got started and I told my wife, I said, are you sure they said seminary president? So I said, that fella knows the Lord. And the next time I heard him, I said, he did better this time than he did the last time I heard him. And I didn't know what I was destined to say that every time I heard him. And Tuesday, I said to my wife, you know, I believe that's the best I ever heard Dr. Allison do. And I appreciate him this morning. Thank God for Brother Lockheed's preaching. I'm just talking about today. That's about all I can stand is what's been preached today. Now read with me, if you will, the last verse of chapter number 1, and then we'll go into chapter number 2. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive. And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, She saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, and she said, "Because I drew him out of the water." And I want to preach this morning, if God will help me, on Alligator Alley. Down in the land of Goshen, there came a bunch of wagons. Jacob's family, because they were tenders of cattle. And they set up camp down in the green lands of Goshen. And they began to multiply in the days of Joseph. And multiply and multiply. And finally, Egypt's crowd got afraid that if they got into a war, that that little group in Goshen that had grown into an enormous multitude would take sides with their enemies. And there arose a king that knew not Joseph, that had forgotten about him. Devised in his heart that the way to stop all of that was to kill all them boy babies. Therefore, to get rid of God's crowd. You see, this age is not the first generation to think about destroying little babies. It started in Egypt. It's still a product of Egypt. Them little boy babies was born. They'd take them down and throw them in the river to the alligators. That old muddy Nile frothed over with the blood of the little babies. I can see them Egyptian soldiers come around to the Hebrew dwellings. Say, is any boy babies in this house? Now, I won't tell you folks today that as sure as you're sitting here, the devils are walking from door to door, checking about your children, and he's determined to get them. And unless we as God's people find the plan and the will of God for our family, he's definitely going to get your youngins. Up and down the street from door to door, the weeping and the mourning of mamas and daddies that took them boy babies out of the mother's arms. The devil has no pity on you and on your heart. He'll destroy your child any way that he can. But I read anew this morning over in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. It said that the parents of Moses feared not the commandment of Pharaoh. There's a couple that is the offspring of Levi. Boys, I won't hang up right there a while, but I'm just going to touch it. I believe sons of Levi ought to marry daughters of Levi. I believe saved folk ought to marry saved. I believe Baptist folk ought to marry Baptist folk. That little old boy baby that was born into their family. I can just hear Abraham and Jacob say, "Our sweetest little old boy." And Abraham said, "Honey, sure as that little old boy's a breathing, the soldiers are going to come." Jacob said, "Uh-uh." She said, "I'm determined in my heart that I'm going to save this little old boy." She didn't know, but in the mind of God, way back under before the days of Joseph, God had already seen this little boy grown into an 80-year-old man, leading that flock out through the desert. Thank God. I'm glad God's always got a plan. I'm glad, thank God, you don't have to leave your children to change. But the plan of God is still in motion. And if we'll follow God's plan, it'll come out all right. I see Amram say, "Yes, sir." "Sir, we've come looking for boy babies. Way back yonder in the back room, I see Jochebed have that little old Moses in her arms. Did you ever wonder why crying didn't give him away?" I see her saying, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound." That's, I believe if the Grateful Dead and AC and DC had have been playing on the radio, he'd have screamed like any sensible child. And she hit him. The Word of God said they hit him for 3 months. When they realized how they couldn't hide him any longer, I believe it's in there between the lines somewhere, how that Jacob and Amram is back there in the back room saying, "Oh God, I don't know what your plan is for this boy, but I want you to know, Lord, we're not afraid of the king's commandment, and we've come back here to pray and ask you to help us." See, Amram come out of the back room one day wiping tears and said, "Honey, I believe if we get him in the ark, he'd be all right." I see Jochebed in the late night, a foreman down on her knees, that little old twisting them little old flags and them little old sticks together, and a foreman that little old ark. I see her for him a little while and pick him up and lay him down in there and take him back out and say, "Just a little bit longer here. He's grown a little bit." I won't tell you this morning, Mama and Daddy, you better be praying that God will help you how to find a way of deliverance for your child. And I just want to be truthful with you. Dr. Spock don't know, never did know, what'll save and bring your child through trouble. But I'll tell you, if you'll get in touch with a fella that made Dr. Spock and allowed him to live out of the age he's in by his mercy and grace, you'll find out he's got a plan. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms, I have blessed peace with my Lord near. Leaning on the everlasting arms. I hear another knock on the door.
And the soldier came and said, somebody told us. Somebody told us there's a baby in the house. Said, if we get another river, we're going to have to come and check it out. Said, what's that I hear back in Austin? That's my wife. She's a singing. Said, we don't understand the language. Said, she ain't a singing for you. Amram said, she ain't a singing for you. Amen. She figured out she couldn't hold him no longer. Now, I'm going to tell you, Mom and Daddy, you can do what you want to and what you can for that child, but you better do what you're going to do and do it quick, because the time's going to come when you're going to walk with him down to the plane station, down to the railroad station, walk with him down to his car, help him load his luggage, and wave goodbye. And that'll be the last time, maybe, that you'll ever get to pray with him and talk to him about Jesus while you've got her with you. You ought to just pray and ask God to help you. I don't know how to raise that child. I raised 3 youngins, made an awful mess. If I could go back before, oh, you can't go back. Me and my wife talk about what we'd do differently if we had them boys. And I said, I never did teach none of my boys and girls to pick the banjo. And I really do hate that. And I've got a boy that plays the piano and daughter plays the piano. And one place to get to, but I never did teach them to play a banjo. I never did teach them to play. I never did sing them together like I ought to and get them around, whip them, make them sing. You say, oh, I wouldn't do that for nothing in the world. You start them out right and whip them into it. They'll come to it after a while. I'm dismayed today because we've let the public schools teach us that we ought not to whip our children. God help us when we leave the directions of the Book of God and take the directions of people that don't even believe in God. We're asking to raise a hellish mass in this world. I read not long ago of a lady. She had raised her child on a pretty good job, she thought. And the boy got sick and went to the hospital. I'm going to tell you this afternoon, folks, this morning, that you better bow to God's plan. I don't know what God wants for your child, but I know God knows. And the doctor said this boy's going to die. Now, folks, I want to tell you, you may have some real super plans for your boy or your girl, but you better give them to God. Just let him see to them and see that they're raised in the way God wants it done. Instead of let something happen, that boy's going to die. She went back out yonder behind the house and said, Lord, I've tried to serve you. I've lived for you. I've took that boy and drug him to Sunday school and church. And I haven't done what I ought to do a lot of times. But said, I'm going to tell you what, God, I've done my best for you. And said, I'm going to tell you, if that boy quits breathing, I'll walk away from you and away from church. And I'll never darken the door of a church again. And I'll curse God and commit every sin that I can commit if you don't let my child live. She went back in the house and her husband called and said, honey, all of a sudden that boy's took a turn for the better. And said, he's better, better, better. The doctor came in and said, I don't understand it. In the last hour, all the signs are showing better, better, better. And she said, I know why. I got things straightened out back down yonder with God this morning behind the house. And I told him what it's like. But I want you to follow a little while, if you will. Because that boy had miraculously got well, and she began to bathe him and let his hair grow. Refuse, you know, to cut his hair and say, just such a pretty little curls hanging down. Said, I don't want to hold him down there. And be ashamed. Just let it grow a little longer. I won't tell you what you're doing, Mom and Daddy. You let that little old child wear them frilly clothes, that little old boy, and let his hair grow. You're growing up homo bait. They skipped for about 18 or 20 years, and the scene opened again at the state penitentiary, and a long walk down a long hall up to a chair that was charged with thousands of volts of electricity, and that boy sitting in the chair for murder, and a screaming lunatic mama that said, God, I'm sorry, how Sam would have said if I'd have turned you loose on him and let him die, he'd have walked in the presence of God, but now it's nothing but hell forever. My boy plays the piano, and he got better and better at it. And I guess I told you, but I want to hear it again, and I'm going to tell it again. He came in one day and said, Mama, Daddy, this little old group at school, he didn't want to tell me the whole story, said, they've got a bunch that sing and play instruments, and they want me to play the piano for them. And I said, son, what is it? Well, he said, just a group of boys getting together. Said, what kind of music? And he dropped his head and said, it ain't church music, Daddy. And I said, no. And he came back later and said, Daddy, they came with a handful of money today and said, this is what we got last night. And said, it's more than $100, $200. And said, we want you, if you'll just come and play for us. And said, Daddy, that boy, it looked good. And I said, son, I've been down yonder this morning behind the log. I prayed and told God every time you hit a lick, I want God to take one of your fingers. That you'll never play again if that's what you're going to play. You'll say, preacher, that's cruel. That's what he said. But he didn't go. Sometimes when I come in on Saturday afternoon, a lot of times I'll drive all day on Saturday to get in from the meeting, and he'll up late in the afternoon, he'll call me and say, Daddy, I'm kind of tired, and I'll say, well, and I'll be at Skeen Hall and hold my eyes open, and I'll say, what do you want? And he'll say, now, I've been teaching Sunday school, and he doesn't go to the church where I pastor, and he said, I'm kind of messed up on some scripture here, and I wonder if it'd be all right if I was come over, me and you'd sit together a while, hallelujah, glory to his sweet and holy name. Oh, I said, son, I feel the best. I said, just come on over, and great God, we'll spend time together. I thank God we'll study the Word of God. When he leaves, he'll say, Daddy, don't forget to pray for me. And I'll say, I won't, son, me. You pray for me, and we'll have prayer together. Hallelujah. Now, y'all know that old muddy Nile is flowing, them alligators. Looking for more of them boy babies. Here I am around, say, honey, we're going to have to go through with it. Today's the day. They're going to come a-looking, come in the house. Now, this is because you have your front room cleaned and the Bible in there. So when the visitors come, they'll think everything is all right. That don't get the bedroom cleaned out. You see, the devil gets in the bedroom where all them pictures are on the wall of all them so-called heathens, all them so-called heroes that are heathens. I thank God if you ought to put pictures on the wall, I'll get a picture of old Brother Ray. Get a picture of old Dr. Allison and hang up on the wall and say, right there now, folks, if you're gonna say that's a real person, thank God Job Dutch, the old man of God. I wouldn't let them hell cursed records stay around my child's bedroom. See them take that little old ark and Amram and Jochebed and the sister that I know of went down by the river's brink, I suppose just a tad before daylight, so none of them soldiers would see him going. Took him down there and laid him in the flags at the river's brink. And I see Jochebed said, wait a minute, Daddy. I hear little old Miriam say, Mama, can I kiss him the last time? Kiss that little old boy. And Amram said, let me hold him just a minute. Laid him down in the flags by the river's brink, and I see him stand back and watch the current begin to bobble him out and lodge him again, and wash him out and bobble him and come back in again. And Jochebed said, Daddy, we've done all we can do. And turn around and go back up to the house, but Miriam said, Mom, can I just stay down here with him at that and walk along and see what happens to him? Amram and Jochebed back up yonder in the back room saying, oh God, close the mouths of the alligators. God, do something down in the river today that's never been done before. Great God, your hands are not tied. You know that little boy's worth of saving, God. He's the prettiest thing we've ever seen. God, save him. Of yonder in Pharaoh's house, Pharaoh's daughter got up and said, for some reason, brother, I just feel so dirty this morning, and I need to go down and wash myself in the river. Out yonder in the middle of the night, I see one of them alligators say, oh. I see a little old ark up there, and I see a little old arm hanging over the side. And I know what they're trying to do. They're trying to hide them babies from us. Now you boys had babies yesterday. For dinner today, it's my time. I see him roll open them jaws and head for that thing and whammo. Turn around and come back with them eyes kind of glass. And they said, what's wrong with you, Fred? Said, I run into something about the time I got there. I run into something. I said, I don't know. I don't know what it's made out of. But it said on the side of that thing, that shield, it said Mama's Prayer. Well, them boys said, you don't know what you're doing. Who ever heard of an invisible shield? We ate babies yesterday. We can eat babies today. And I see another or two roll and start, and all at once they swap ends and come back. And they said, what is wrong? They said, there's something inside of us. Said, the Creator says, don't touch that boat. My brother went to Korea during the heat of the war. My dad and my mama lost weight and lost years off their life while he's there. My mama'd hear praying in the night. I remember the morning when she kissed him goodbye. I thought surely she'd ask him, son, do you have enough money? Have I got you enough clothes packed? Is everything? Son, do you have enough money? Have I got you enough clothes packed? Is everything fixed for you? She was busying herself in the kitchen. She didn't want to face them last few moments. And my brother sat with that AWOL bag. And finally the time came, and he went and pushed them curtains apart that was hanging on that little hickory stick on them nails and said, Mom, it's time for me to go. And I remember Mama dropping her skillet and coming, laid them arms up around her, twisted with arthritis, and said, honey, are you absolutely sure? The reasonable doubt that if something happened to my boy, that I'd meet you again in glory. Hallelujah! My brother said, he's a bridge builder. Building a bridge that morning, they went out there in the water to build a bridge, and the guns fired, and the bullets came and hit flesh, and he saw some of his buddies go down. And he told me about this, sitting out in the car one day, and he was mean then, he said they sent a buddy of mine out and said we need to take a load out. Some boys out there working behind the bridge where the bullets came. He said my buddy got picked up a load of material and went out and heard the guns fire and heard the bullets hit flesh. And I saw my buddy go down and they said, Sergeant Mebby, take a load. And he said, I got a load. And I couldn't hardly walk and got in the water. And he said, I heard the guns fire and heard the bullets come. And he said, above all of that noise, I heard an old crippled arthritis woman in the state of Kentucky saying, oh God, don't let the enemy's bullets touch my boy. A little old ark floating along, and Pharaoh's daughter walked out in the water and heard something in the water. And the first record of that we have, that little old babe was a crying. I believe maybe one of them angels went down there and said, it's time to quit being good, boy. Moses said, Pharaoh's daughter turned and looked at that little, and if there's such a thing as a Cupid angel, I believe that angel just drew back at her and said, in the Pharaoh's daughter's heart. She said, oh, isn't that pretty little baby? She said, that's one of the Hebrews' children. Boys, you know God can change the mind of folk out there that's dealing with your sons and daughters if you pray to God and stay on your knees before God. He'll change their mind. I see Moses' sister's hand. She said, the gators didn't get him. The gators didn't get him. won't tell you. I won't tell you. Some of you mamas and daddies ought to pray that your young'un, will stay around where other Christians are. That'll teach them about the ways of God. Old Brother Blue's daughter's going to school down there in Cleveland, and she wore them long dresses and had them long sleeves and carried that little old Bible, and they called her Granny. Every day at lunch, she'd open that lunch box and she'd stop and bow that head, see her mouth move, and then she'd go on and eat. And then after she, just a few minutes, she'd open that Bible and read just a little out of the Bible. And they'd laugh and say, Old Granny, she's a religious fanatic. But one day, in the afternoon, when a hot and a cold front met in the sky, and they got word of tornadoes coming, and the principal said to the teacher, said, "This is for real." And they sounded the alarm, and the teacher said, "All right, now you children, all of you know how to do in the drills, and you know where to go, and you know how to get down on your knees, and how to put your hands on, and everybody get to your place that you've been assigned to." And all of them got over there and scrambled, and the wind began to rattle them window shades and rattle them panes in the window. And as much of them youngins went to crying, she said, "What's the matter, y'all?" And they said, "We want to get away where Granny Blue is. Said she knows the God that's making the wind blow." Hallelujah. "Why," she said, "this here's one of them Hebrew babies. Against the law. Against the law. Her own father made the decree. If she could have signed it, I suppose she would have. But oh, this is a different case. Because God had touched her heart for that little old boy." My daughter went to work for a doctor, and I mean, she is unknowing about a lot of things, and they went to Canada. The doctor went up there to hold some kind of seminar. He's a hand surgeon in Louisville, Kentucky, and worked on some of the astronauts, and he'd go to Canada, and he'd take a bunch of the staff with him, and took my daughter with him, and they stayed in the hotel, and one day, one of the doctors said that they came down in the lobby. Now this doctor doesn't claim to be a Christian, but he's just a little old short fella, and he's a Jew. And I sent him some messages that'd just shake him up, I knew. And sometimes it'd make him mad, but then he'd send me a little old book on Jewish custom or something, and I knew it was all right. And they came downstairs in the lobby one day to go out to some kind of seminar. And one of the doctors came up to my daughter, a young doctor, and said, "What'd you do them pictures, man?" And saw she didn't have them, of course. And she said, I forgot to bring them to you. They're up in my room." And she said, I'll go get them." And he said, "I'll just go back up there with you." And my daughter didn't think anything and said, "All right," and just turned around and started towards the elevator. And that little old Jew doctor said, "Hey! Where are you going, Doc?" He said, "We're going up to Nurse Milby's room." He said, "No, you're not." He said, "You stay here with me, Doc. You go up and get them." Hallelujah. You know what I believe? I believe that's how little old a man that had them license to practice medicine. He's one of them alligators. He were up against daddy and mama's prayers. Amen. Miriam said,
"Ma'am," said, "Ma'am, would you like me to
I think I know somebody would like to do some babysitting. Said she's been babysitting actively now for 3 months, and she'd like to babysit. And he said, yeah, go ahead and get one of them Hebrew mamas back up yonder in the house. I see Miss Jochebed saying, oh, Lord, I believe you. Lord, I believe you and I trust in you. Great God, I feel relief in my heart. This morning, Lord, I feel relief in my heart. How that something good's going to happen to my boy. And I heard little Jochebed say, Mama, Mama. She said, what, Mary? She said, guess what? She said, Pharaoh's daughter has come and got Moses out of the bulrushes, and she said that she'd like for you to take care of it. But don't you tell Mama that you're that boy's mama. I see Jochebed. Go down there and get said, say, you want me to take care of this boy? Say, yeah. Say, is he a good boy? I don't want to take care of no heathen now. So, well, yeah, the only time he's cried is when I was down there, and just all at once he busted out of crying down in there in them flags, but the rest of the time he's been good. See, I get that little old baby. Carry him back up the house and get back up there and act like she's kind of carrying him under her arm. She got back up in the house and said, nah, 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 nah. Hallelujah! Where's that box? Thank God! Alligators! Alligators, stay away from my boy! She took that little boy in her home and nursed him up, and oh, she put something in his heart. I don't know what all she done with him, but I believe that she sung Amazing Grace, how sweet it sound. I believe she sung to him, it's better, Father, on. I believe she told him, son, we've got a promise that one of these days, God's going to lead us out of this pilgrim land. While you're up there in Pharaoh's house, could you put in a good word for the deliverance of God's young'uns? You don't need to tell me she didn't put something in his heart. You say, how'd it turn out, preacher? Over in that same book in Hebrews, that same chapter, it said in the Moses chose wrath. I see him, Brother Perkle down there walking up and down the halls with him. Royal robes. He may have been next in line for the fellowship. But he's walking one day up and down. Something that's troubling him back yonder. An old mama that said one day, these are my people, Moses. These Jews are your people, Moses. And if you can do anything for us, would you do it? I see him look out the window. See them Jews out there. A groveling in the dirt in servitude to the Egyptians when they had the promise of God on them. And I believe he reached up and looked that old royal robe and laid her down on the side and said, Lord, I'm yours. I don't know what your youngin's gonna do. I don't know what he's headed for, what she's headed for. And I wonder what you're going to do with him. Any little old babies in your house?
Mama, I wonder if I could... She'd let me just carry her a little bit, you reckon? I think it's appropriate that I get this one. Reckon we ought to just throw her to the alligator. That little old head shook like that. I won't, darling. Leaning on Jesus. Leaning on Jesus. Safe and secure from all alarm. Leaning on Jesus. Stick that little old pacifier back in that little old baby's mouth for me right there. Oh. She don't want it. She said that. She won't take that pacifier. She said, I'm already pacified. Oh, the sweet. Thank you, Lord. I wonder if when you get home, you just go ahead and throw them out, them alligators. Or I wonder if you'll go back in the back room and start building you a little ark. And saying, I'm not afraid of the king's commandment. What the devil has decreed to do to my child, I refuse to accept.